We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. WILLPLEDGE.ORG. Now here's your program.
This is Keeping the Faith, a weekly discussion about issues of faith, spirituality, religion, and ethics. Now here's your host, Steve Shoemaker.
We're going to be talking today about volunteerism, encouraging it, particularly among high school age young people. And our guest today is by phone from San Francisco, Dave Boyer. Welcome, Dave.
Hi, Steve.
Dave is the head of an organization called Ways to Help, and that's part of the Network for Social Responsibility. Dave, tell us, since you were a local fella and started out here in Champaign-Urbana, tell us how you got from Champaign Central High School to an executive at eBay and now to starting this national nonprofit that's already had meetings with the vice president in the White House, and how did you get from one place to the other?
Holy cow, Steve, that's about 16, 17 years of history right there.
Well, we have an hour.
Okay. Let's see. Well, I started off there in Champaign, Illinois, just like you're saying, and went to work in Chicago as a young adult out of college, working for Deloitte & Touche in the accounting industry, and then I found myself going from accounting to finance to strategy consulting at McKinsey & Company, and then ultimately out to eBay to help run part of the strategic planning and operations of one of their bigger businesses called eBay Motors. And along that time, since you're asking me about how I found my way into volunteerism and trying to help kids get engaged in volunteering, along the way in Chicago, I happened to start a nonprofit to help Chicago's homeless in the middle of the wintertime, because there are days in Chicago when it's like 30 degrees below zero with the wind chill, and you still see people outside trying to make it through the night, and you know those people don't want to be homeless. So
now you're doing that while you were employed?
I was doing that while I was employed with Deloitte & Touche and working with some friends just on a pretty casual basis, but we went through the process of filing all the paperwork to get something called Actions Speak Louder Than Words up and running, and we would collect gloves and blankets and hats and coats from other friends. And then we would just go and distribute them on Lower Wacker Drive, which is where a lot of the homeless congregate in the winter. And
From LaSalle Street to Lower Wacker.
Yes. a few blocks of just homeless people in the dead of winter trying to make it through the night. And we would pass out resource cards to tell them where they could find other useful health services or job services and things like that, along with what we were giving them for the evening. And also during that time, I was working with Junior Achievement in the Chicago Public Schools, going in once a week to mentor and to teach. Essentially, economics is the curriculum that Junior Achievement likes to teach to kids in the Chicago Public Schools. And every year, it would come up that I had started this organization to help the homeless. And so every year, when the kids seemed to be sort of interested in that, I would ask them what their ideas were to help other people if they could. And it turned out that they had a lot of good ideas. And so basically, I can go into more detail if you want, but basically I realized that they had a lot of good ideas but no real way to engage. And they just sort of stuck with me for a few years. And then when I got to McKinsey & Company, I was working with the growth practice there for the whole firm. It's a strategy consulting firm that advises major companies about big strategic issues, and the group I was in was helping them figure out how to grow their businesses great big. So I kind of challenged myself to figure out how can you get a tremendous number of teens to help other people? What is it that they would need to be able to do that? And I toyed around with that idea for several years and came up with a concept. And then when I was out at eBay most recently, about a year and a half ago, I the country was going through the election, and both McCain and Obama were calling for people to get engaged to help because of the economic downturn. And it became obvious that there was going to be a wave of people who wanted to get involved, and I just figured this was the right time.
Now, how long were you at eBay?
I was at eBay for about 5 years.
5 years. Uh-huh. So while you were there, you were thinking about this and wondering what to do about it, right?
Oh, yeah. I've known for over 10 years that this is what I wanted to do.
And so how did you finally decide to make the jump from being an executive to volunteering your time and money to try to start something like this?
Like I say, it's something that I'd wanted to do for a long, long time. And when the economic downturn hit and both camps were calling for people to get involved, and I can particularly recall a speech that Obama had made where he said, we need everybody to get involved to get the country back on track, not just the government, but corporations, foundations, individuals, everybody needs to get involved. And you could just feel a wave of volunteerism coming over the country. So I just decided that this was the right time.
So what were your first steps?
So I'm 39 years old, and I laugh at this, but my first steps was to tell my parents that I was going to quit my job, and I was going to give myself a couple of years to start a nonprofit, and I likely wouldn't be paid for a couple of years. And both of them had some pretty serious misgivings for a few days, and then I won them over. And then once my family was behind me, it was a really easy thing to do.
So you had saved up some money, and you were willing to donate some or a lot of your savings and your own time for a couple of years because of this vision you had that you thought would be helpful.
That's right. That's right. And
ways to help.org came out of that.
The Ways to Help program, which runs in schools, and the website, which is what people see at waystohelp.org. And really what you see at waystohelp.org is just a small piece of what we do. But the programs complement each other to be able to get lots of kids engaged in volunteering.
So tell us what the Network for Social Responsibility is.
Well, the Network for Social Responsibility is essentially the, if you will, the holding company. It's the legal entity that runs the Ways to Help programs. We set that up because Ways to Help was initially envisioned to be a program for teens to run through high schools, and we thought later on after we get good at this, we'd want to be able to add additional programs for adults, and we needed an overarching entity that could run them both, and so the Network for Social Responsibility was born.
And waystohelp.org is a fascinating website. It may be a model for how to attract a youth. It's filled with videos and things, quick information and ways to get involved, where you are right now. I really was impressed with it. But as you say, that's just part of your program. Give us an overview of what else you do, what
Sure.
else you're starting to do, because this is very new, we should tell our listeners.
Thank you very much for the compliment on the website. It's fun when I hear people say that, and we work with a number of students in high schools. As we were starting the program really just last year, we would go out to high schools and we would help high schools with an existing problem that they had, which was essentially, I'd say probably 80 to 85% of the high schools in the country will do a fall food drive just before the holidays. It's one way for them to give back. And so what we want to do is inspire kids to think even beyond the food drive and get engaged in other social issues, really whichever ones they're most attracted to. But in order to get the schools to let that dialogue sort of start between the students, what we do is we help the schools with their fall food drives. San Mateo High here in San Mateo, California, has done a wonderful job with running their food drives for the last, I think, 15 or 20 years. In fact, they've won the Guinness World Record several years in a row. And so what we did was we partnered up with them to put together a fantastic toolkit for schools, really kind of following their approach and taking other best practices from around the country and kind of codifying it so that now we can give those best practices to any school that wants to run a really, really strong food drive. And all that we ask in return, we don't even make them pay for the kits at all. All that we ask in return is just that they make that food drive time period just be known as a community service drive. The food drive is still the main piece of that, but then at the end of the food drive, then they can ask the kids, if they've been calling at a community service drive the whole time, then at the end of the food drive, they just ask the kids to all go to a volunteer fair where hopefully they've thought about what issues they're interested in and they volunteer. And we find that's just enough structure to end up getting a couple hundred kids on average in the schools engaged.
So you've done these pilot programs at how many schools there in the San Francisco area?
Well, we started off with two last year, and just between those two schools, they raised 400,000 pounds of food using the toolkits, and that gets you to almost 1 million meals, according to the food banks out here.
On the website, you have some videos dealing with a whole lot of other issues. Tell us about some of those.
Sure. We think that in order to get kids engaged and thinking about the issues that which issues could be most of interest to them, we wanted to present the information in a way that kids were used to, rather than having a big school curriculum that they would have to, you know, learn and take tests on and so on. We wanted just to deliver them some pretty simple, basic information about lots of issues. And so we have a bunch of issues highlighted on the website, like global warming, recycling, AIDS, cancer, just general fitness, crime prevention, animal welfare. There's 16 of them that we highlight, and we highlight them all through short, simple videos that have a number of other students just talking about those issues. And at the end of each video, we ask the person watching the video to find their way to help, and we list a number of those on the site. And you had mentioned before, students can really choose on the site from simple things they can do in their daily life, or they can find volunteer opportunities nationwide through a volunteer database we have, or we also run a grant program so that students can apply for grants. And it's a competitive process, but so far we're funding about 10% of the grants that come in, and we've gotten some great ideas that have come in.
And teens can also apply for grants?
Yes.
How does that work?
It's really simple, actually. So in each of our 16 different areas, after you watch the little video, or even before, I guess there's another way to get to it, you just select that the way you want to get involved is by starting your own program, and we prompt you to write up a really simple description of a project you would like to start and tell us how much money you would want to start it, and we'll fund up to $500 for projects that where kids have really strong ideas.
We're talking today on Keeping the Faith with David Boyer, that's spelled B-O-Y-E-R, about ways to help, waystohelp.org for more information. This is a live call-in program here on WILL each Sunday evening, and we encourage listeners to make comments, ask questions of our guest. If you'd like to do that, if you're in the Champaign-Urbana listening area, punch in 333-9455. If it's long distance, there's a toll-free number, 1-800-222-9455. So if you have a question or a comment, I encourage you to get on the phone, and our engineer, Kyle Crow, will put you in line to talk with our guest, David Boyer. Dave, you mentioned getting into this program after being in business, but you'd already been not only thinking about it, but sort of preparing yourself educationally to make this switch to working with a nonprofit. Tell us about your educational background. Where'd you go to college, and then what'd you study?
Okay, that's funny. I'm originally from Champaign, Illinois, like you said, and I've been given the moniker of being a townie because I actually went to college right there at the University of Illinois in Champaign. It's a great school. I started off in public accounting, and it has a good accounting school. And then
one of the best in the country.
It does. And I chose not to get an accounting degree. Instead, I got a finance degree, but I took all the accounting classes to get the CPA. And I also got a marketing degree. And then a few years later, I went to Kellogg, Northwestern's business school, to get my MBA. And you're right, I actually did study nonprofit management there in addition to strategy, which is what got me into McKinsey & Company, and electronic commerce and technology was another focus area of mine, and then entrepreneurship. Because I had the two undergraduate degrees, I was able to take a lot of other, get a, take a lot of, wave out of a lot of requirements.
And the Kellogg School is part of Northwestern University, for listeners who may not know that. So you've been to some great schools. You've had some great business experience. What are the surprises you've had moving into this nonprofit area?
Well, I'd say there are a couple. Business, a lot of business is done just based on the connections that you have with other people, the trust factor. If doors can be opened up very, very easily if you find somebody who can provide you a warm contact or a warm introduction to somebody that you want to meet. And the same thing is true in the nonprofit space. And because I was working at eBay, I was actually really surprised to find out just how well-connected some of the folks at eBay were in the nonprofit space. And that's because eBay runs a program that lets you donate any portion of the money that you make from selling an item on eBay to your favorite nonprofit. And because of that, I think they have several hundred thousand nonprofits in the country that are registered with them. And when it came time for me to leave, of course, I told the people who ran my division what I was going to go do, and they said, you should really go talk to the people who run kind of our foundation side of the business. And I was like, really? And I went, and they opened up a tremendous number of doors for us. People at the head of the Points of Light Institute, which is George Bush's organization, it's the largest volunteerism organization in the country, people inside the government and the heads of corporate social responsibility at some other major businesses. So that was a big surprise for me. And then a second major surprise for me was how friendly everybody seemed toward the idea. And there are a tremendous number of people who've come on board to help us. We've had well over 100 people actually jump in and volunteer. And the third surprise I'd say is even though it's something that a lot of people support and want to get behind, some of the existing nonprofits that are out there, I was actually surprised are a little bit territorial. So it's taken a little bit of time, but we've been working with some of them to see that by working together we can accomplish more. And things are going really well.
Tell us some of the connections, networks you've been able to establish, even though people may at first not be eager to share.
Well, I don't know if I want to go into where we've had necessarily a hard time. But
No, talk about your successes.
But yeah, we've been really excited to have to form a partnership with the Jefferson Awards, which is a group that was started by Jackie Kennedy and a guy named Sam Beard, I think 38 or 39 years ago. They are known to be the Nobel Prize of public service, and every year they'll give national Jefferson Awards to people like Oprah or Mayor Bloomberg or Condoleezza Rice or General Powell, Colin Powell. And they've been doing that for, again, I think like 38 years. And I'd say 7 or 8 years ago, if I'm not mistaken, they started to want to not just recognize service but also promote public service to the common person across the country. And so they established 150 media partnerships across the country in, I think, 78 cities. And in each of those cities, it's my understanding, like here in San Francisco, one of the media partners like CBS5 here will actually have listeners or viewers write in about who they think should receive, who's an unsung hero and who should receive an award. And on a weekly basis, they award a Jefferson Award. And then at the end of the year, when they've got 52 folks that have been awarded those awards, then they take 12 of them and celebrate those folks at an annual ceremony. And then they take one person, and so this happens all over the country, they take one person from each of the 78 cities or so, and they fly them to Washington, D.C., really to share the stage with this year's Condoleezza Rice or Mayor Bloomberg or whoever's receiving the national award. And so that's it's a pretty prestigious program. Those folks have a lot of connections, and now we're working together on something that we're calling the Youth Service Challenge. So that's the partnership that we're most proud of at the moment.
Tell us about the Youth Service Challenge.
Sure. The Youth Service Challenge is something that we're really excited about because it's got its roots in activities that Ways to Help was in programs that Ways to Help had put together. And the way the Jefferson Awards folks have helped us think about it is going to make it even bigger. The Youth Service Challenge is meant to be a national service competition for high schools. And what we're doing is we're challenging kids all across the country to compete for $50,000 in prizes for their schools by coming up with great, big, meaningful, impactful community service projects and then just sharing them with us. So there's a lot of schools out there that already put on community service projects, and in some cases, the it may be the Leo Club or the Interact Club or the Key Club inside of a school that's doing that, and generally they're planning their service projects really just for that club, the 30, 40, 50 kids in that club. And so we're reaching out through some organizations like that, and the Future Farmers of America has been a huge supporter too, and suggesting that those kids now, in order to compete for the prizes that we're offering, really try and make a bigger impact and get more kids involved. And then at the same time, we're also leveraging a relationship we have with Channel One to promote through public service announcements to over 6 million kids the idea that individual kids can get involved as well and can start their own projects and involve their friends. So hopefully this fall, as we challenge kids to get involved in the areas of the environment, health and wellness, why am I drawing a blank?
Homelessness and whatever?
No, it's not homelessness.
Oh, you've got three. You've got several ones just you've picked out to work on this year.
Yeah, it's the environment, health and wellness, and hunger are the three areas.
Okay.
And so, again, leveraging off of those toolkits that we put together for food drives based on the way the Guinness World Book record holders have done it, we're providing toolkits to deal with hunger and then with the other topics as well. So not only are we challenging kids to start a big project, but we're also giving them a little bit of help in figuring out how they might go about starting a project. And then what we hope to see is a lot of creativity out there from the high school students really trying to make these projects as big and impactful and innovative as they can.
Dave, high school students listening today know what Channel One is, but older listeners may not.
So Channel One is a satellite news network that's broadcast into high schools and I think maybe some middle schools across the country. And again, it goes in front of about 6 million students. It's for the older folks like you and me who are familiar with Anderson Cooper from CNN. Anderson Cooper got his start there. Lisa Ling, who's also a reporter for CNN, she got her start there. So it's been around for a number of years, and it's a really reputable organization.
We're talking with Dave Boyer, who is head of Ways to Help, and their website, waystohelp.org, part of the Network for Social Responsibility that Dave started after his experience as an executive at eBay and one of the top accounting firms in the country. If you have a question or comment, do join this conversation. Anywhere in the country you're listening, you may punch in 1-800-222-9455, and that includes people who are listening online at will.illinois.edu. If you're listening in the Champaign-Urbana area, 333-9455 will put you on one of our local lines. This is Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD3, Urbana. I'm Steve Shoemaker, the usual host for this program. We're getting close to about halfway through our program. Let me mention that next week we'll be talking with Catherine Kuzmel about her experience as being a new pastor. She is the new pastor at the First Presbyterian Church here in Urbana after coming here from a large Presbyterian church in Cary, North Carolina. In September, Shirley Stillinger will be our guest talking about the homeless mentally ill on September 12th. September 19th, the author Don Kurtz will be talking about his experience writing Churchgoers, a fascinating novel about a couple congregations, very different congregations, in a college town somewhere in the Midwest. Rafe Malhado and his spouse Jessica will be our guests talking about the Hillel Foundation here at the University of Illinois, the Center for Jewish Life, on September 26th. Rafe and Jessica are the new executive director and program director for this coming year at Hillel. So those will be some of the guests coming up on Keeping the Faith in the days ahead. Well, let's get back to our guest for today, Dave Boyer, B-O-Y-E-R. Dave, how can listeners help teens get involved in their own communities? They're scattered all around here in Illinois and Indiana listening to you today and elsewhere farther on online, and we'll hear this on podcasts and so on. What practical things can people do where they are?
That's actually a great question. Well, we tried to make it easy for people to get involved, particularly teens, so they can easily come to our website, waystohelp.org, or even .com, and they can, on the website, look at 16 different social issues and very quickly find out which ones they think they might be most interested in. And then, again, we give them simple ways that they can address those issues in their everyday life. Or if they feel like they have a little more time on their hands, they can actually look through our database of tens of thousands of volunteer opportunities around the country, especially for teens, and they can volunteer with an organization near them. Just type in their zip code to find those opportunities. Or, again, we can even help them start their own projects by letting them apply for grants, and if they have a great idea, then we'll fund it. In addition to that, of course, that's exactly what we do, is try to make it easy for teens to get involved. In addition to that, the parents out there can go to tell their friends who are teachers about the program, either about waystohelp.org or about the Youth Service Challenge that we're running. And the website for that will soon be up. I think it'll be up later today or tomorrow. And they can enter their school in the Youth Service Challenge, and again try and put on try to encourage kids in the schools to put on great big projects, really, so that it's not just a few teens that are helping out with these different social issues, but instead that we raise awareness amongst a lot of teens and get a lot of them to engage. And then finally, and this is sort of a shameless plug, on Facebook, if people want to like Ways to Help or like the Youth Service Challenge, then obviously their friends will take note of that and will be able to, over time, get more and more people to know about both these programs and hopefully get more and more kids engaged in making a difference in their communities too.
And, of course, so many people today communicate through Facebook before they communicate any other way. Dave, we have a caller waiting on line number one. Line one, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Yes, thank you. This is very exciting. I do have a question about how you have raised the money for your grants and the materials that you provide through your outreach.
Okay. Well, actually, Steve had mentioned a little while ago that I'd known for a long time that I was going to do this, and really during that whole time, that whole 10 years, I was saving money to be able to start to do this. So we've set some money aside for the grants, and we've had a few people here in San Francisco give us some money to be able to fund the grants, and right now we've got plenty of running room on that. As far as the operations of the business go, that's been really almost entirely me to this point. We don't have any employees, but like I said, we've had over 100 people contribute to some time and effort in starting the business up, and we've got a couple of marketing firms and a couple of law firms that work with us as well. So we've just been really fortunate to tap into the right group of folks who've helped us to get up and running. And then shortly, we're in the process of applying for grants from organizations that support each of our 16 different social issues. And we'd like to think that with the number of kids that we're going to be able to get involved in these issues through the Youth Service Challenge and through our affiliation with the Jefferson Awards, that we hope that the money will come.
Thank you. Very exciting.
Thank you.
And I don't want to embarrass our guest today. Particularly, I don't want him to be so embarrassed he won't continue to talk for the last half of the program, but I think it is important, as that listener perceptively asked. You've donated not only your time for this, but when you gave up working for eBay, you'd saved up some money for a while, and you're donating that money to help this thing get started, and it's a significant amount of money, and I think you need to have at least have me say thank you on behalf of students who are going to benefit from this in many ways. You are at the point where the organization has proved itself. You've had pilot projects. You've got national attention already by being asked to co-chair a conference at the White House on youth volunteering. But you are at the place where you're willing to ask people to donate who think this is a good idea. Can you tell people how they could do that?
Sure, absolutely. And actually, thanks for saying that. On waystohelp.org, it's really simple for people to make a contribution to our annual campaign. I believe in the upper right-hand corner, or at least in the footer of every single page, there's a button that says donate. You click on that, and it takes you to a place where you can make a donation with a credit card. And then other folks who are interested in supporting us in a more meaningful way that may also want to learn more about the direction of the organization should feel free to reach out to me directly. And my email is just dboyer, B-O-Y-E-R, at waystohelp.org.
So you're willing to let people have your email address, dboyer, D-B-O-Y-E-R, at waystohelp.org.
That's right.
Very good. Dave, let's talk a little bit about the kind of volunteer opportunities that you're coming up with on volunteermatch.org.
Right. So Volunteer Match is one of the nation's – actually, I think it is – it's one of the nation's largest databases of volunteer opportunities. And through a relationship we have with them, we've been able to create what we believe is the nation's largest database of volunteer opportunities, really for teens. The site we've put together around their data is really focused on teens. And so I'll give you a couple of examples of things that teens can find there. In terms of global warming, clearly there are a number of programs across the country that plant trees or hold environmental fairs or petition drives to help educate the public on the dangers of global warming. In terms of things like education and development, they can find opportunities to mentor small children, serve as a camp counselor, start book clubs. In terms of things like animal welfare, obviously there are places all around the country where teens can get involved in caring for animals at shelters, promoting the better treatment of animals and educating the public. We have senior care is one of the issues that we highlight, and there are a lot of opportunities to actually work with seniors, either to help just sort of keep them company or provide them with food or entertainment, conversation, things like that. We also highlight opportunities for helping deal with or prevent drug and alcohol abuse, prevent crime, encourage financial well-being, help with the homelessness issue in many cities. We have a really wide range of projects that kids can undertake.
Dave, tell our listeners about your experience earlier this summer with the Parade Magazine's All-America High School Team for Volunteer Service, the award, The Breakfast.
Sure. Actually, it was a great honor for me to be asked to be involved in that. I mentioned a while ago that the folks at eBay had several connections that we found valuable, and they had connected us with some folks at the Points of Light Institute. And after working with some folks there, particularly in a group that they have called The League, it's a program to get kids engaged in volunteering through schools, similar to what we do, but yet quite different. The CEO of The League and I became friends, and he asked me if I would help to co-chair an event that they had, which was designed really to highlight the great work that some kids had done. And the event amounted to a joint project between Arnie Duncan, who's the Secretary of Education for the U.S., and the Points of Light Institute's program, The League, to honor a number of kids, I think it was 15, who had done significant service work across the country. And together, the Points of Light Institute and Arnie Duncan had gone to Parade Magazine and asked them if they wouldn't highlight these kids in the weekly magazine that goes out to, I think it's 38 million people across the country. And Parade Magazine had said yes, and so they had a special issue, much the way they do when they do their athletic All-American team issue, but this was a service All-American team. And so they did a short story on each of the 15 kids back on, I think it was June 6th, and Matthew McConaughey, who's known to be big in the service world as well, was on the cover with some of the kids.
A famous actor.
Yes, a famous actor. And then they highlighted, they honored each of those kids in Washington, D.C. They flew them out, and Arne Duncan put medals around their neck at an awards breakfast. And then later on that day, we all adjourned to the White House. It was a much smaller group of people. And we got a chance to meet with Vice President Biden. And then Vice President Biden also put medals around the necks of each of the kids and thanked them for their service. And the whole thing was taped. And it's actually available to watch on a video on the White House website. If people wanted to see that, they could go to whitehouse.gov and just type in, I think, just Parade, and the video should pop up.
When you have those kind of experiences so soon in an organization's life, it must give you a great sense of encouragement that maybe this national competition between high schools for that $50,000 will really inspire people to really, really get creative when they come up with ideas for service in their own communities.
We certainly hope so, and we see great examples of kids doing inspiring things all across the country, but you just don't hear about them very much. And so by putting together the distribution channel to reach out and tell kids that we want them to think about how they can make a big difference in their communities, and then ask them to submit those stories back to us, and again work with the Jefferson Awards and their 150 media outlets around the country, we hope that we can create a really strong cycle of kids finding inspiration in what other kids are doing and kind of codifying for them how they can do, how they can run successful programs like their peers someplace else in the country, so that as soon as they know what issues they're interested in, hopefully we can show them a way to engage and not just by themselves but with their friends, so it becomes something fun and they can have a community of people that all care about the same issue that they care about. So, yeah, we hope that it's going to be a big deal.
How can listeners to this program encourage media in their areas to focus at least occasionally on these kind of positive stories that kids are doing?
Good question. I think really it's you know, reach out to the media. If you just look in your newspaper, you'll find if you call the newspaper, you'll find the education editor usually listed in the paper. They'll give you the phone number really easily. And then you can write to the education editor about the great things that kids in your area are doing. We've seen that be a successful tactic. And you can call up the TV stations and radio stations as well and encourage them to cover what, you know, kids are doing. In the world that we live in today, very rarely do we see, you know, the good stories. Most of our evening news is just filled with, all the bad things that happened. And I don't know about you, but I would love to see more of these stories.
Does Ways to Help have any way to get the news out when people know about, say, a youth group in their area that's done something very positive?
Right now, we offer kind of we work on kind of a national scale. But when the Youth Service Challenge is up and running, because we'll be collecting the zip codes of the schools where the kids are entering their projects, then we'll be able to feed those stories right back to the media locally. So we've built a nice mechanism to be able to help with that shortly. And so, again, to the extent that people listening today have a son or a daughter who's been thinking about starting a project, they should go to, today it's waystohelp.org/YSC for Youth Service Challenge to pre-register, and in just a day or so, we'll actually have youthservicechallenge.org up and running, and then they can register there. And then when they let us know about their projects, let us know about the progress they're making, then again, we'll be highlighting that to the media outlets around the country.
Again, listeners can join this conversation today. I encourage you to do that, 333-9455 if you're in the 217 Champaign-Urbana listening area. If it's a long-distance call, punch in 1-800-222-9455. We're talking with Dave Boyer about ways to help, a brand-new organization encouraging high school students particularly to get involved in service to their community.
Steve, you had just asked me a question about how we can draw attention together to the service activities that kids are doing. We're starting to become more and more well-known on our own, are starting to get a lot of reporters who are asking us, how kids can find volunteer opportunities for the summer. It was one of the big topics that we were dealing with for a while, and we were being asked to comment and provide advice for stories on things like that. We would also love to have young people from around the country upload their stories and their photos to our site. And then as we find that we're being asked for stories, we can actually provide a matching function on our own as well for the national articles.
Let me remind listeners that if you've missed part of this program, it will be archived probably in about a week at the will.illinois.edu/keepingthefaith site. And that's a keeping the faith without the G at the end of keeping. So when you plug that in, or you can just go to will.illinois.edu and click on AM, and then you can search for Keeping the Faith or Dave Boyer or Ways to Help, and that will all get you a way to listen to this on your computer at your convenience. And, of course, this program and all our programs are archived there so that you can listen to them yourself or pass them on to friends, let friends know about them if you found them helpful and interesting. Dave, you recently had international experience. Tell us how that happened and where you went and what you learned.
Sure. Last year, when we were running our program in the high schools here in the San Francisco Bay Area, we were promoting these 16 different issues to the students here, and we had really set it up to promote them as from an American standpoint. We explained each of the issues in the context of, the way they're a challenge here in the United States. And a number of the kids said, and I think rightfully so, hey, listen, education and development, education, access to education may be an issue here in the U.S., but we really feel like it's a bigger issue, in India or Africa. And the same goes with poverty and with gender equality. And with AIDS and with land preservation and sustainable farming. And so as we were in the schools actually talking to the kids and trying to figure out how we could best construct the program to engage as many students as possible, we pretty quickly came to the realization that we could get a ton of kids to actually volunteer here locally, but there were going to be a large number who would want to participate and would be more likely to participate if they knew how they could make a difference on an international scale. And so we figured we better find out how we could best represent those issues and tell those stories. And so we decided to take a trip to India and to Kenya and to Rwanda. So we were in East Africa, and we went and studied a lot of issues, things like like I said, education and AIDS and farming and clean water. And we came back with a lot of video footage, not just of the issues themselves, but also we started dialogues. Whenever we got to a school, we would always sit down and we would film a dialogue with some of the students there to ask them what their family life was like. Because eventually we want to be able to use these videos to show that we're all very similar across the world. And so we'd ask them, how they played with their brothers and sisters and what games they played and what they did with their friends for fun. And there's a lot of similarities there. And then we asked them what their communities were like and what issues troubled them. And that's where you start to see some of the differences in the way we live our lives. In fact, I remember one little girl. We asked her what she was most concerned with and what she most wanted to address, and she was 7 years old. This was the youngest person we interviewed the whole time. And she only spoke Hindi, and we were with a monk that was translating for us. And so she gives back an answer, and the monk translates the explosions. And I said, what? And he asked her a question again, and back came the answer. She's scared of the explosions that happen. It's the bombs. It's the terrorism that takes place here around where we are in India. And so we think we have a lot of really impactful footage because there's no reason why a little 7-year-old girl should have to deal with that. And we have conversations with 30 or 40 kids that we hope to string together someday in addition to the conversations we have with a number of U.S. teens about the different issues that are affecting kids all around the world and how those kids actually go out and do something positive in their communities as kids, as students, and what they think can be done by people here in the U.S. to help as well.
I was reading an article recently in the Christian Century about the over 1 billion people around the world who are suffering a severe hunger. And to enlighten the American young people about that problem and ways that they can be compassionate, find ways to be helpful, is just so important.
Yeah, and it really is sad. And a lot of people don't realize the conditions that folks face around the world. And even when we were traveling in India, seeing some of the poorest of the poor, and when we were in Kenya, we went to a slum in Kibera. It's called Kibera. It's in Nairobi. This slum has over 800,000 people in it. They say it's between 800,000 to a million people. And that would actually make it, I think, the 13th largest city in the U.S. And it's a place where there's no running water. There's almost no electricity. Of course, that means there's no baths, there's no toilets, and yet people, in particular the kids, seem happy there. They don't know the standard of living that people have elsewhere, so they just take every day by day. But yet they get sick a lot more because there's no sanitation. They don't have access to the food that the rest of us have. There's really, if you get out of the United States and get an opportunity to go someplace like that, it's a wonderful learning experience, and it really makes you want to help other people.
People who do know often get discouraged. Let me remind listeners that on August 8th, we interviewed Paul Adams and Tom Logan on this program about the Marion Medical Mission, which is finding ways to get clean drinking water through shallow wells. They've already helped over a million people in three of the poorest countries in Africa over the last 25 years. If you'd like to hear more about that program, go to the archive at will.illinois.edu/keepingthefaith and go to August 8 and hear about that program. Today, again, we're talking with Dave Boyer about ways to help. Dave has said people can email him if they have questions at dboyer, B-O-Y-E-R, at waystohelp.org. Or go to the website, waystohelp.org, for more information and ways to contact him. Dave has gone from being executive at eBay and with a CPA and MBA from after studying at University of Illinois and Kellogg School at Northwestern to now starting how many months ago did you start this organization, Ways to Help?
I don't think we're at the year and a half mark yet, so I think 17 months.
So amazing progress in a very short amount of time. And in the interest of full disclosure, I should say that I knew Dave when he was a young man in high school. He was a friend of my son Daniel, and Daniel, along with Dave, is volunteering some of his time. In addition, my son has not given up his paying job, but he's donated some time to help this organization as well. Dave Boyer is an unpaid CEO of Ways to Help. He's a volunteer. In fact, he's donated a considerable amount of his own savings as a professional to getting this organization started. So we've been talking with a real philanthropist, a young philanthropist, today on the radio. And if you'd like to ask him questions, we still have maybe 6 or 7 minutes. If you keep your question short, we can get in 2 or 3. Call us at 333-9455, or if it's long distance, 1-800-222-9455. Dave, what are your hopes for the next 6 months of the program, Ways to Help?
We're excited to, so for with the Ways to Help program, we're excited to continue to expand our user base. And we're really excited to, again, be working with the Jefferson Awards and a group called Communities in Schools and a group called YouGive and Ronnie Lott's All-Stars Helping Kids. And Dr. Oz actually has a program called the Health Corps. And together, we're all conspiring to put on America's Youth Service Challenge, which, again, the site will be up very, very shortly at youthservicechallenge.org. And through the relationships that we have with politicians around the country and Channel One to promote to over 6 million kids and groups like the Future Farmers of America who've agreed to promote to their 7,400 locations around the country, we're hoping that what we'll see is the ability to promote to a large number of students across the country the idea that they should be getting involved, they should be thinking about the issues that are important to them and making a difference, whether it's small or large, but also having a conversation with their friends about how they can all get involved. And hopefully we'll see kind of a renaissance. We'll see a ton of kids take on the challenge and participate. And I would love it if 6 months from now we had seen, 5,000-10,000 schools around the country all have at least one or two entries in the program that we're putting together. It's really easy for schools and for teams of kids to enter the program. All they need to do is upload a description of the project that they're undertaking along with some photos, and they'll be entered. It's just that simple. And we provide tools to make it easy for them to do friend raising, if you will, inviting all their friends to participate. We provide tools for them to do fundraising, if that's what they want to do. We provide tools for them to help engage the media and try to get the media to cover their projects. So we'd like to see this fall a ton of kids getting involved in a very, very visible way.
What do young people gain from being involved in such service projects at a high school age?
There's been a lot of research done on what happens when kids, when students get involved in volunteering. And really, there's a lot of benefits. First of all, they learn about an important social issue. Generally, that means that they end up seeing more than one ways to address the issue. They kind of internalize it. They realize what they can do to help, and they realize that they have some power to be able to help. And then that generally leads to them being more active when it comes to other issues that may be of interest to them. So they end up being more engaged civically. They can draw connections between their classwork and how that actually makes a difference in the real world if they've been volunteering with another organization. And so they start to perform better academically. Depending on the type of volunteer opportunity they have, they may actually learn some professional skills and get an understanding of small business operations. So there's a ton of things that students learn when they get engaged in volunteering and get out in the community.
When you were back in Chicago, still gainfully employed, and you started volunteering and trying to get other people at the firms you were working with involved, how did those young professionals respond? Did they, many of them, have a history of having done volunteering work in college or in high school, or was this new to a lot of them?
That's a good question. It was actually a fairly small organization. It was only 4 or 5 of us that did the distribution. Again, we tried to figure out how we could create a lot of impact and make it just very easy for people to participate. So in that example, and I would encourage kids across the country to be able to do something similar this winter, we basically went to the consulting firms where all of our friends worked, and we said to some of our friends, do us the favor and go into your consulting firm or your accounting firm and ask the people there if you can just have a storage closet, and then put up some signs that say that you're collecting items for the homeless, you know, clean gloves, coats, scarves, hats, things like that, and then just have them put into that storage closet. Once every 2 weeks, we'll come around and collect those, and then we'll distribute them. And in that way, we actually saw a lot of people get involved because we made it very easy for them. It was easy for our friends to, you know, ask for the storage closet, put some signs up, and then that motivated their friends and their colleagues to do the very simple act of cleaning out their closet. And it made a real difference to a lot of homeless people across the country. So that's one of the examples of things that kids could do this fall if they wanted to.
We're down to our last minute or minute and a half. Dave, one easy question. Why do you care? Why leave your very well-paying job to do this?
It all goes back to an encounter I had with a homeless man in the city of Chicago several years ago, where when I gave him my own gloves and he put them on in the wintertime, he started crying when he said thank you. And that touched me so much that I wanted to be able to help more people. And then when I saw just how many great ideas kids had across the country, I knew that not only could they have that same feeling, but they could have a tremendous amount of impact if we could show them the way that they could help as well. So I care just because I know it's easy to make a difference, and I want to help people find out just how easy it is.
Our guest today on Keeping the Faith has been Dave Boyer, the volunteer head of Ways to Help. You can learn more about it at waystohelp.org, and within a day or two, also about the new youthservicechallenge.org. At that website about their competitive program between high schools who are doing service projects around the country. This new national nonprofit is only 17 or 18 months old, so you've heard about it probably first here on Keeping the Faith. If you'd like to donate, go to waystohelp.org, punch the donate box, and you can make a contribution to help get this organization off to a good start. Dave has contributed several $100,000 of his own money to this, and if you'd like to join him, you have a chance. I'm Steve Shoemaker, the usual host for these Keeping the Faith programs. Next week I'll be talking with Catherine Kuzmal about her experience as being a new pastor in a large and active Campus Church, the First Presbyterian Church of Urbana. Catherine has just come this summer from a large church in Cary, North Carolina. We'll be talking about her experiences starting off fresh here. On September 12th, Shirley Stillinger will speak from her social work experience about homeless mentally ill. Don Kurtz, the author of Churchgoers, will be our guest on September 19th. Rafe and Jessica Malhado will talk about their experience at leading the Center for Jewish Life here at the University of Illinois. They've just come this summer, and looking forward to talking to them. Thanks for listening to Keeping the Faith.
You've been listening to Keepin' the Faith, a production of WILL AM 580. The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of the participants.